And it took time. It took time to build my confidence back up. It took time to really know my value. But that happened as I kept on putting one foot in front of the other.
You are a driven international professional or manager, have achieved quite a bit already, but are asking yourself from time to time, what do I really want? How do I want to work and live? Then this is your podcast. I'm Gina Friedrich, career and life coach for people who want to actively shape their future. Every second Thursday, I release interviews for you with inspiring, successful, as well as renowned international personalities from the world of business, NGO, and sports. They all will share with you what these questions mean to them, how they handled obstacles in their lives, and shaped their journey to where they are today. You are curious and don't want to miss anything? Sign up for this podcast right here. And now, let yourself be inspired on your very personal journey towards the future that you wish for. Hello and welcome to today's episode number 45 with Linnea Patel, an award-winning nutritionist and dietitian in her final year of her PhD. And as a dietitian and nutritionist, she focuses on sports and public health. She also is a spokesperson for the British Dietetic Association and regularly appears on national TV and in the press. And with all that, she's really able to follow her passion, as you're about to hear. Linnea, whose passion it is to translate nutritional science into easy-to-digest and practical advice, shares how she quite early in her career figured out what it really is that she would like to do for a living. Hear how deciding to become a freelance was kind of an aha moment for her, combining her two worlds of interests, with then staying freelance having been one of the hardest decisions at a later stage. After her business taking off quite well, she then has decided to invest in a PhD. What her key learnings are from making such decisions, she will talk us through in this interview. We discuss our own experience and the importance of social media when starting your own business and get some helpful insights from Linnea, for example, on how journaling motivates her when the going gets tough. We talk about changing the focus to a long-term view, the need of having a vision to enable behavioral change, and stepping out of one's own comfort zone is so important. Ready? Here she is. Yeah, Linnea, I am very happy to have you here on this show today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Gina. Really excited to be here.
Yeah, especially as it has been a while since we spoke to each other or we have actually seen each other. We live in different countries and your brother is a very close friend of mine. And through him, I got to know you and also got the chance to follow your path, which you will talk a bit about in a moment. But it's I was just trying to remember when that actually was, if it was this cricket match on a green field in Düsseldorf, or it was this surprise party for Vinay, where it actually was that we've seen each other, or if it was a Bringing Smiles project. It's been a while.
No, absolutely. And I feel that I know what's going on in your life, obviously, because I speak to Dinal and he tells me that Gina and Manu are doing this. So, yeah, that's nice. Nice to be kept up to date, but really nice to be able to connect personally now.
Yeah, on a different level even, because I might get the chance to ask you questions now that I did not ask you before. I would like to start by asking you who Linnea Patel is.
Who Linnea Patel is? Whoa, that's a big question, Gina. Okay, well, I guess for the purpose of this podcast, professionally, Linnea is a dietitian and a sports nutritionist. Now, Gina, I have two big passions in nutrition. Mm-hmm. So sports nutrition being one and public health being another. So actually, I started off my career being a sports nutritionist, or actually my title was a performance nutritionist. I worked in high-end sports, so, you know, lots of national rugby teams and with players from Champions League and Great British Olympic athletes, etc.
Wow.
And my job was basically to help these athletes eat right so they could get the most out of their body. And interestingly, through that work as a performance nutritionist, I then walked into working with corporate athletes. So actually now the majority of my work is in corporate wellness, where mm-hmm. I look after my corporate athletes who are very much people who are, you know, CEOs and people in the C-suite, flying to and from countries, but basically doing the same, getting them, making sure that they're eating right and living well so they can get the most out of their bodies. So that's my sports nutrition world. And then my other passion is public health. And like most clinicians, particularly in the UK, you start off working in the National Health Service, and I did that for a number of years. And actually recently, 2 years ago, I started doing a PhD in public health, and I'm just about to hand in my thesis in 3 months' time.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
exciting times.
Exciting and scary and intense times. But yeah, it's really good, I think, for me, because I'm a science nerd and I'm a very proud science nerd. But I realized that especially in my field and my world that, you know, very often science, especially nutritional science, isn't kind of translated to the general public in a way that's easy to understand. Mm-hmm. And also in the nutrition world, there's so much noise, there's so many myths out there. And to be honest, there's so much rubbish out there about what people should be eating. Mm-hmm. That what I'm really, really passionate about is getting evidence-based or scientific-based nutrition messages out there to people in easy to digest form, so that people are informed and empowered. So I do a lot of media work. Sometimes that means writing for magazines. Sometimes that means providing expert quotes for newspapers. Mm-hmm. And also working a lot on TV as a nutrition expert.
Wow, that's really a lot of stuff that you do. But still, there is this red line that is connecting all of that you do. And I was just thinking, I mean, I'm still kind of feeling like a fresh user on Instagram, but you are sharing there as well a lot of interesting insights and also the facts that you've just mentioned. And I was also just thinking that when, like, I don't know, 2 years ago, I spent a lot of time also trying to understand this nutritional world and what is possible. And also, in the end, I decided to really try to find the facts that are clear to me and not so much yeah. like all these different opinions like you've just said, because yeah. I was back then I was trying out to leave out meat for some time. It was a challenge I put myself in for 30 days, but that's a different story. But I completely agree, there's so much information out there and it's good to have a source that is yeah. reliable and that is really based on scientific results. So you were just giving us a very broad idea already about what it is that you do and all these different things. Yeah. And I was just wondering that from what I saw, you knew quite early in your career that the field of nutrition was exactly what you want to focus on.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe you can share with us what, if you had an aha moment or something that was actually bringing you closer to knowing that this is your path, that this is what you really want to do.
Yeah, well, interesting actually, because before I went to university, I didn't think I was going to do nutrition. I always wanted to be a vet. Mm-hmm. And then I actually worked as a vet assistant in my kind of gap year before university. And I realized actually veterinary science was not for me. And then at university, that's actually when I went into doing medicinal chemistry, biochemistry, thinking I loved science. I wanted to be in science, but I didn't know quite how that would kind of pan out. And at university, I realized, okay, doing science was great, but I like to be practical. So I wanted to be in a career that helped me be immersed in science, but to be able to apply it. Mm-hmm. And actually, one day when I did some shadowing after my first degree, and I was shadowing different health professionals from like medical doctors to pharmacists to dietitians. And it was when I shadowed two dietitians, one was at Red Cross Children's Hospital and one in the sports science, that I, both those days that I did the shadowing, I remember coming home and just having a real warm kind of, but a peace in my heart and excitement that this was where I wanted to go. And so from then on, it actually is when I kind of did nutrition. So I've actually done nutrition the long way around, because I had to start again and do another degree in nutrition and dietetics. And then I guess for me, I don't think I've had a particular aha moment in how my career has shaped out, other than knowing I had two passions, sport and public health, which are very, very different passions in the nutrition world. And I always actually thought that I would have had to choose between each path. And there's been earlier on in my career, I had to just focus on sport and then keep public health at the side and just focus on public health and not merge the two. But maybe the aha moment for me, if I was to think of one, was when I decided to go freelance. Mm-hmm. Because being a freelance and being a consultant means that I can do both the sport and the public health. So, yeah, and I think that's, I've been freelance now for nearly 10 years, and I'm so blessed because I can kind of work in both the fields that I love to work in, which is very different, but very rewarding.
I can imagine. I would have also mentioned that it's like over 10 years now that you have started being self-employed and being your own boss and what you do.
Yeah.
Was that a hard decision for you? to go that path?
You know, what's funny, Gina, is I think when I jumped into freelance, I think I was a bit naive. And I thought that, you know, I had got 5 years experience by then, and I thought it was going to be super easy. I had thought I had, you know, made my network, and it was all going to be like, you know, it was going to click into place and it was going to happen. And actually, it didn't just happen. And it's taken time and a lot of work and hours and to kind of get to where I am at now. So maybe going freelance wasn't the hardest decision for me. Probably the hardest decision, I probably got two in my career. And I think the first was staying freelance. Because if I remember the first 2 years, I mean, I couldn't pick up work as easily as I thought. And it happened to be the same time there was an economic recession. So, you know, very much in terms of nutrition and private practice, nutrition tends to be a luxury. So in times of economic recessions, people don't tend to spend on that. And yet still being able to stick it through. And, you know, sometimes I've had to go back and take a part-time job while I'm still kind of feeding the, you know, the nutrition projects that I want to actually happen. So I think being able to stick to it has, for me, being the biggest challenge. And I actually think maybe even is maybe one of my greatest strengths is the fact that I've got stickability, if that's even a word.
I like that word.
and determination. So, you know, where I'm passionate about something, where I really want to make it work, I do put my heart and soul into it. But that doesn't mean that it's not come easily, because there's definitely been hard periods in my freelance career. And Gina, maybe for me, actually, the second hardest decision I've had to make was deciding to do a PhD, because I decided to do a PhD when I was probably in the time of my career where it was really taking off. I had made my networks, the work was coming to me, but I wanted to take a long-term view about where I wanted to go in my career. And being in the health and nutrition world, for me, I want to be effective in the work that I do. And I want to be an authoritative voice in nutrition, not just in 5 or 10 years, but in 20 years' time. And so for me, investing in doing a PhD and getting those credentials was really important. But, you know, that's not easy, from going from full-time work to being a part-time student, earning part-time, and also just having to juggle doing a PhD, which is a big thing, and still working at the same time. But, you know, whilst it was probably the hardest decision I've ever had to make in my career, it's probably being the best decision, just not even just professionally, but personally. Personally, for me, I feel it has.
Yeah, I can imagine, because you actually know what you're doing it for. I mean, you said you've set your lens, your focus on long term, and you knew that this is something that you would like to do. And I remember when I was also deciding to get out of a full time project lead job when I was still working for television long time ago, and deciding to study, to actually start a full time study course. And I first had to do this in German, it's called Abitur, like this university entry diploma, before I could actually start studying. So for me, it was like a four years break where I could also just work besides studying. So I have a good feeling in regards to what that actually means. But I also share this, this being an amazing decision if you really know what you're doing it for, which is if you compare this to a time like maybe you've just started high school or whatever, and you have to decide on what it is that you would like to study or that you would like to focus on. Sometimes people don't know that at that point in time. And I was older, and you also decided to at this PhD studies at a later stage, and you have a clearer focus.
Definitely. Definitely. And I'm actually really, because I've always kind of PhDing a PhD has always been on my radar. You know, my brother, he's like super genius, done PhD and like top of everything. And so there's always been that kind of competitive pressure between us. So, I mean, not that I would have done a PhD to compete with my brother, not at all, but I always knew that I wanted to do one. And I'm so happy that I waited and I got life experience and work experience before doing a PhD, because I feel that I've been able to manage my PhD so much more effectively than if I had just gone from a master's to a PhD. Mm.
Yeah, that's also a good thing. But I actually didn't want to compare my international business bachelor studies with a PhD, which is like impressive. Just the feeling of really taking the step, not being an easy decision. And you said this was like one of the big and not easy decisions you had to take. but you don't regret it, and that's perfect.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Could you say what actually supports you through the process of making a decision like that, if it's such a key decision that is really, yeah, shaking your world a little bit even and changes a lot in regards to the life that you might have known before or the focus that you have set before? What is something that helps you through phases of taking such big decisions?
Yeah, and I think, you know, this varies for different decisions that I've had to make. But if I think back to my PhD, I think it's, you know, coming back and asking myself the hard questions of where I want to go, why I want to go in that direction, and what I need to do. And then once I ask myself those questions, I mean, I am very lucky that I had a mentor who I was able to talk to about the decisions that I wanted to make. But I also took the opportunity to reach out to people who really I admired, that were in my field, that were maybe 20 years ahead of me. Mm-hmm. And to ask them for their opinion, you know, and it was interesting to get some of their feedback. And based on that feedback, based on the conversations with my mentor, and also based on the knowing inside, you know, I think, you know, it's interesting because I feel like the older I get, the one emotion that I value the most is peace, inner peace. Mm-hmm. So knowing that I'm in the right place at the right time, not necessarily it being a very comfortable place, but even though it's uncomfortable and I'm scared, just having that inner peace. And I think with that decision, once I had made it and the way things slowly worked, I knew that I was doing the right thing, as scary as it actually was, because I was leaving all the knowns and London, which is my world, my adult world, and kind of going into a world that I didn't know, Milan, and a different country as well.
Hmm. Yeah, I can only imagine. And could you maybe share with us what a key learning in regards to your further life was from taking your decisions that way?
A key learning? Well, I think I'm more resilient than I thought I was. And, you know, it's so funny because, you know, a couple of times I love having meaningful conversations with my friends over glasses of wine and stuff. And we always ask ourselves a question about, you know, what qualities do you have and what qualities do I think I have? And one of them that always comes back with my friends is always, oh, you're really resilient. And I kind of was like, oh, am I? Okay. But actually, I think doing this PhD has taken my resilience to kind of different levels. You know, it's not been easy. I feel like, you know, I've fallen 101 times, but I've always been able to dig deeper and pick myself up 102 times. And I think if I look back at one characteristic that I have that I value, is the fact that I'm optimistic. So I see the best in every situation. It takes me a while sometimes. I have to process the emotions that I'm feeling, but I'm still able to see the best in that. And the same even in people as well. So I think probably that is that we're more resilient than you actually think you are. But for that resilience, I'm very, very lucky in that I've got an amazing support network of family and friends who surround me and who are my biggest cheerleaders, really, and who are able to just help me keep going forward, even when it is not necessarily easy.
Yeah, thanks for sharing this so openly. Maybe at that stage, I would like to go back one step, because you have mentioned that you have looked at your plan and what it is that you would like to do or achieve more in a long term, from a long term perspective. Could you say what kind of difference that made, putting your lens, your perspective more on a long term goal or a long term thing that you would like to achieve?
Yeah. You know, I it's so funny because in the field that I work in nutrition, you would never believe this, Gina, but behavior change is the biggest element of the work that I do. For me to be an effective dietitian, I need to be asking questions that get my clients and my patients to want to do it. You know, and one of the things that I always talk about with my patients is the idea of having a vision, knowing where you're going. And if in your life you know where you're going, you can kind of start breaking that down to, you know, what does that mean in my professional life, my personal life, and my health. So I guess for me it is just having this vision of knowing that I wanted to be effective in the work that I do. And to be effective, it just meant that I had to follow, you know, a path where I maybe upskilled myself with a higher education, where I worked on different projects, et cetera, et cetera. And then I think it's just breaking it down from the 20 years, if that's where I want to be, what does that mean in the 10 years, in the 5 years, what does that mean now? and actually, is this a good decision now to do a PhD? And for me, it was, because I, as I said, I have the availability to make myself freer to being able to do it. It was, for me, a good opportunity to just go and experience another country as well.
Yeah, you were just saying, and that's actually a very interesting point, because that's also, of course, part of what I do, and like helping people to grab this vision, to feel yeah. into that vision. What would that actually mean? How would that feel? What would that change? And doing a little deep dive and taking a look around that vision. And this definitely creates a different drive, a different motivation. And thanks a lot for sharing that, which actually is something that we share in the work we do.
I do it for health, and I've had the support of getting a career coach to help me shape that vision a bit more, which has been so valuable, and I wish I had done that earlier on.
I actually also, back then when I started my own business, I also decided to take an expert in, who was also a profile coach. And she was an expert in regards to really figuring out what my golden thread is, because I thought like, there is none. I mean, I've done so many things, so many different things. I went back and forth working, studying and living abroad and so on and changing industries. And I always thought like, okay, there's nothing that combines all this. But then this lady actually helped me to find the answers also to figure out who am I as a coach and what is it that I can add value to, and what is actually building on my experience to then help others to find their path. And for me, it was actually, mainly these many, many times that I was refocusing and trying to find more and more what it actually is that I want. So
finding your why is so important.
So that's definitely something that I am also super happy that I've done. That it probably would have taken me much longer if I would have tried that out on my own. But Linja, you were talking a lot about big decisions and super interesting things that you've kicked off and that you start just for them to pay more and more into what you would like to change, or what the change that you would like to see in others in regards to nutritional things. Was there a time when you might have felt also a bit of doubt or insecurity through all this?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. And I think particularly the first couple of years, because I launched into being freelance and I wasn't necessarily able to pick up the work as easily as I thought it would have. You know, it really chips on your confidence and you start doubting yourself and doubting your skills and abilities. Because you just not translating into paid work. But, I did a lot of volunteer stuff. I did a lot of free work, as it were. And actually, now that I look back, and I think that time really helped shape, for example, I used to do a lot of free writing, write articles for free. And I think it's so funny now that a lot of my work is communication through writing and the media. And I think that the early years actually really, really helped me with that. And it took time. It took time to build my confidence back up. It took time to really know my value. But that happened as I kept on putting one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, that's what it takes. One step after the other, and enough time to reflect and to make sure that you're still on the right path. And one thing, because this is also something we share in regards to being self-employed in a field where we are we're trying to make a difference, or at least to help people to achieve their goals. How important do you think social media channels like Instagram really are? Maybe this is really a question that I ask more out of personal interest, but I can imagine that others who are also considering doing that bold move out of a company, starting their own business. And I think I'm still fighting inside myself against the importance of that. But what is your opinion about that?
You know, I think it's really, really interesting. And I think for myself, what I've decided is that I'm in for the long haul. Okay. And that's why I've done my PhD. But I have to be relevant and I have to be current. So I'm very active on social media, probably not as active as I should be. I definitely need to do more live stories. But I'm working on that. But for me, it's not necessarily where I see myself going, and that completely the avenue that I see myself being a kind of Instagram influencer. No. Mm. So I think you have to know what works for you. For some of my colleagues, the Instagram thing is perfect for them. That's their character and they thrive on that. Brilliant. And for me, I realized that I'm behind the scenes. And so it's interesting that actually so much of my career is kind of media related. And I've embraced that. It hasn't always been easy. But I think for me, I'm still very much in the idea that I will be current, I will be social, but I'm going to find my way of being social. And that's not necessarily going to, I'd never want to compromise what I want to do or how I feel. So I would never be posting pictures of myself that I wouldn't necessarily want the public to be seeing, because that's just not me. I'm sure I'll get more likes and more followers. Maybe it's naive of me, but it's okay because I'm here for the long haul.
Yeah, and I think what you've just said is very important, that you have to find your individual way, like the balance or the routine that suits your life, that suits whatever it is that you want to achieve with that. And I see that in myself now. There was a time where through others who pushed me into social media and tried to, I don't know, I was taking part in Instagram live festivals, my first time being live on Instagram, and then really with like super experienced and well-known people from the personal development industry. And I don't know why I said yes. In the end, it was good. But through that, a lot of things happened, and also interview requests and so on. And then I really felt, yeah, it was. Thank you. But I also realized then, I mean, afterwards it was like, okay, Gina, you can do it. And I never wanted to do it. I really did not see myself there, and I didn't want to be, like you've just said, like the social media person. And then I felt like, okay, it's not that bad. I can do it. Just like the few 1 or 2 days afterwards, I really felt engaged and encouraged. And now it's all gone again. I think I'm barely posting something, and I just feel that this is not me so much yet. I don't know if this is going to change, but just interesting to get your perspective on that.
No, definitely. And I think for me, it's been that. It's also being saying, okay, well, what's my journey? What's my way of doing things? You know, it's very easy, and I've done it, and I fall into this, is where you compare how other people might be doing it, and you think that that's working for them, so maybe it'll work for me, but it just doesn't feel like it's me, you know. And being confident enough to say, this is my way, this is my style, and I'm gonna go with this. But I think, you know, we are living in a world where we have to be more social, and I think not engaging is not wise, because you want to be effective, you want people to be able to reach out to you, but at the same time you have to find the balance. And finding that balance is maybe something that, you know, I still feel that I'm trying to do as well.
Mm. Yeah, and also this, for me, it was always like, who really cares what I have to say or what I could have to share in regards to all these aspects? Because I think there are a lot of people out there in the same profession and doing that heavily. And for me, it was like, there are so many opinions or so many things out there. I don't need to say it again or in a different way. And that's also why I then started this podcast, because I thought like, okay, this is a way I can really add value.
Exactly.
But
it's a job in itself, Gina. It's a job having to post all the time. And I'm like, I'm juggling so many different things. And then to have to then post is just another thing on top of it. So maybe for now also, it feels like I'll be around, I'll post what I eat, but I'm not going to go overboard with it. Yeah.
Yeah. And in the end, I think the people that decide to follow you or me, they are actually choosing and they have the choice. So it's not like, for me, it was always like, why should I spam people with all this? But everyone can decide. So
exactly.
I'm on my way, and I'm trying my best, but still feeling like a newbie. Thanks a lot for these insights. And you were just mentioning that it was not always easy. And yeah, I was wondering, what drives you and motivates you to keep going when it's not that easy and might even get really tough?
You know, obviously this depends on the context. For me, when the going gets tough and I have to dig deep, I think I lean on my faith quite a lot, because for me that's important as a source of hope, motivation, and for me helps give me that va-va-va-voom again. But, you know, it's not about me being religious at all. For me, it's more like a way of life and a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one of the things that I found in terms of habits that is really effective when I hit a barrier or a challenge is I journal a lot. And I journal because it allows me to be able to process what's going on inside. But also, ironically, because I keep journals over years, it's so great to be able to look back and to see actually when I was going through a particular challenge professionally and I didn't see a way out of it, how I'm now where I am. And actually that challenge seemed so small, in context. It always actually gives me a little bit of hope. And it renews my faith and gives me reassurance that everything, no matter how big it feels whilst I'm in it, actually works out. So I think journaling is really good. But also I think I consciously pivot my focus. So I think it's very easy when you're in something that feels intense is to, when you focus more on it, it just makes it bigger and it feels more impossible. But if you pivot your focus, if you focus on maybe, for example, the context of one project in a bigger scheme of my entire career, or, you know, one issue in the context of a bigger project, then it actually makes it look not so huge. And then what I try to do is once I've pivoted my focus is then I say, okay, in this practically, I'm a scientist, I'm quite practical and I like lists. So it's kind of what in this situation can I do and do I have control of? And what do I let go of? So I'm always writing these lists and saying, right, control what I can control, let go of what I can't. And, you know, the letting go a bit, that's where different forms of meditation for me personally have come in, or just finding your way of being able to say, right, this is what I can do and I can focus on this. What I can't, I'm not going to stress about it. Because for me, actually, one of the things that I think is the biggest waste of time is worrying. Because it's, if you're worrying, there's not much you can do about it. So you have to be able to say, right, in this situation, can I control? What can't I control? Let go of what you can't control to, you know, whatever your belief system is, the higher being.
Yeah, but this is an active process, right? That requires some training to really, in such situations, take the step back, reflect on the situation and yourself. And in the coaching sessions, I always invite my coachees to really jump into this little helicopter and fly out of their situation where they feel stuck or whatever it is that is bothering them or feels like a problem, flying out of it and looking at it from a completely different perspective, which allows to see solutions where so far there was no clarity or just fog or not even the chance to see it from this different angle. And this requires, as you've just described, this moment of reflection and accepting that sometimes there might be a situation where you cannot have an impact or can have control of all parts related to a certain situation, but still there's always something that you can do, even if you just start with yourself or how you look at things.
Or your reaction or your perception. No, definitely.
And that makes a difference.
But it's hard work, and I don't necessarily get it right all the time, but I'm much more conscious about it. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the more you do it, the more you practice it, the easier these things become, you know. So maybe what would have taken me a closed door, a tender or a bid that didn't work, that I would have kind of been devastated about and I would have kind of, you know, wanted to sleep for a week. Now, you know, it's disappointing. It's the same emotion. I process the emotion, but I pick myself up much quicker because I've got, you know, I've worked out what works for me. And, you know, obviously coming from a lifestyle profession also, I'm very, very conscious that it's body, mind and soul. So actually when the going gets tough and you have to make hard decisions, you're in a difficult situation, you've got to look after me. And looking after me means sleeping well, exercising well, getting some connecting, all of that type of stuff as well.
Yeah, and also this is an active decision one has to take and to actively practice, because if you don't do it, no one else will help you on that. And as you've said, this is not easy. And even for me, being the person who supports others throughout these processes, I still realize that it's always good to have someone from the outside sometimes helping you reflect, helping you hold the mirror or stopping this carousel of thoughts that, it's just human, right? But still, it's there. Exactly. And thanks for taking us into that part of your experience as well.
Yeah. And probably, Gina, what I would add that I think is quite valuable is I always laugh because I have I call them board of advisors. You know, people who, my board of advisors, people who are able to speak into my life professionally, personally, in a very honest but loving way, you know? So I'm able to go to them with challenges, and they're also the ones who help me see things from a different perspective when perhaps I'm so stuck into the problem or the issue that I'm not able to to see the point of view. And I think, as you said, I think it's really, really vital to get that external view as well.
Yeah, that definitely helps. I mean, people are different, but I could at least agree to that. And I'm happy that you have your board of advisors, which successfully supported you, because it's amazing how far you got. And if you look back now, maybe even before you started journaling, what would be an advice that you would give your younger self, and why?
You know, it would probably be about staying present on the journey. So I think I've talked a lot about the importance of having a vision, and I think that's really key, because you know the direction you're moving and it motivates you when the going gets tough. But I think the idea that you have to focus on the journey, all you have is now, is really important. You know, one of my colleagues always talks about the fact, and they kind of do life coaching, they say you're always one heartbeat away from dying, which is physiologically true. So very often I feel like maybe if you focus too much on where you're going, what you want to achieve, you forget to live in the now. And actually living in the now and being very present is wonderful. I think being very present also helps you be more effective. So I know for myself, if I'm very present in the work that I do, I'm much more productive and I'm much more effective. So whilst it's important to have that journey, I still would say to my younger self, you know, like, don't take life too seriously. be in the moment. And, you know, my one of my favorite saying is that one where it's about live, laugh, love, you know. So you bring the joy of life into every day. Don't make it so intense, but look forward.
Yeah, and in the end, this moment is all we have, right? If we think about the future, it's still the future. And if we think about the past, it is in the past. But the only thing we can really enjoy, or that we are really part of, is the present. And that's why it is very important to, to be aware of that, and also to choose that, not to be, I don't know, lost in thoughts in the past or future all the time, without being present enough to understand what you can do now that is actually serving your needs or your goal. With what you do, Linja, it's like, I think I could say that what you do professionally is also something that is, your personal interest, 100%.
Oh, that's, 100%.
Right?
100%. Yeah, that's so lucky, Gina. I feel so lucky.
Yeah.
So lucky to be in a profession that actually it excites me, and I want to wake up because, you know, I like helping people, I like making a difference, and to be able to kind of marry, I think it's got positive and benefits actually, because sometimes I feel like I'm working all the time, and I think more so when you work for yourself, you're constantly working, but also because my interests are also my job, I've had to really find non-nutrition, non-health related hobbies as well to kind of switch off, because I can quite happily, and this is terrible, go to bed reading a textbook on nutrition and biochemistry because I find that so interesting. But at the end of the day, that's not very good for my sleep quality, as my sleep expert friends would tell me, because I'm still working, I'm still kind of processing. So being able to find that balance,
It's funny because I read before I go to sleep. So I have like half an hour max before I really fall into sleep, usually when I'm able to sleep. But I realized that for way too long, I was really reading heavy, for me, super interesting job related books or studies or whatever. And they kept my head or my brain working like crazy. And I actually had to stop. So on my Kindle, I have books that are something completely different. So like biographies of successful people or interesting people, inspiring people. So this is something that brings me into a nice sleep usually. But did you ever have to choose between personal and professional success with everything you do, which is kind of connecting both worlds? But was there ever a moment where you had to choose?
Ooh, I think that's a really, really good question. Probably the answer would be yes and no, depending on different phases of my life. To work for yourself and to be freelance, particularly freelance in the health sector, it takes a lot of hard work. Maybe sometimes I've worked too hard and I've had to learn to work smarter, not harder. But you know, I think that I've always, because I work in the field of wellness, and I'm preaching eat well, live well, I've always got that internal button in me saying balance, work-life balance, work-life mm-hmm. balance, work-life balance. So I feel that I'm able to actually get that balance quite right, and I've got that right throughout my career, although absolutely there's going to be periods where I'm working on an intense deadline and I have to just work for it. But I feel that I haven't necessarily had to sacrifice too much personally to get to where I am professionally, because I'm very conscious. But I think, Gina, actually, me wanting to do a PhD was also, you know, this is crazy. It's going to sound crazy, but was me wanting personally to get a little bit of time out to reset, because I was working in London and I was doing really, really well, but I was realizing that my work-life balance was offset. Mm-hmm. And that I didn't like that, because I like to spend time nurturing myself as well. And actually leaving and having to reestablish my routine was a real reset button for me, even though I'm doing more than I was doing before. But actually, I've really, in the last couple of years, achieved a really good work-life balance, even though, you know, I'm kind of flying from London to Milan all the time and doing lots of different things.
Interesting. What is something that you could recommend to someone who's also, curious or trying to achieve that, to create this balance more and more? Is there something that might be of value that you could share?
Yeah, I mean, probably practically, because practically what I do is, you're in charge of your diary. So if you're in charge of your diary, and for example, you want to exercise, or, you know, you want to meet friends, etc., diarize everything. So very often, actually, with my corporate clients who are super busy, I say if they exercise, we found out if they exercise first, they put it in their diary, they're exercising first thing in the morning, it's more likely to happen than if they put it in the evening, because there's always going to be emails popping into your inbox that mean that it just gets pushed further and further, or your workout gets pushed further and further away. So I'll probably just say, be in control of your diary and prioritize you. So put in you time to get that work-life balance and stick to it. And even things like, I try to compartmentalize what I'm doing, because I wear so many hats. Sometimes I'm a sports nutritionist, sometimes I'm a media person, sometimes I'm PhD. When I'm doing what I'm doing, if I'm just doing PhD, I switch off the other mailboxes and I put my phones very far away from me. You know, because otherwise I'm really tempted to scroll this and open this and check this email if I see it coming. So I kind of work in compartments like that, and I'm like, right, it's PhD hour, it's email hour, et cetera, et cetera, just to be more productive. Because I think, especially when you're juggling a lot of different hats and roles, you have to be productive, because otherwise you're just going to end up working every weekend. So I really developed small tips like that, which for me help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interesting. Thanks for sharing that. And to this me time that you've just mentioned, I got also recommended by a friend who said, like, hey, Gina, you're doing so much. And do you ever celebrate your successes and all these milestones that you achieved? And of course, there was a lot of stuff happening the last year and also already this year. And she said, you should take time to celebrate in between. And I liked her advice to book something that you would really like to do, like a massage, like just book a massage like a couple of months in advance, put it into your calendar, and you will definitely forget about it the next coming weeks. And then it pops up, the reminder, like, oh, tomorrow you have a massage. I really like that approach, to make sure you secure yourself some time to have time for yourself, or just to stop thinking, stop working, and just do something completely different. So
definitely. I also think that I have a FOMO, fear of missing out. So like if I spend all my time working, I'm like, oh, my friends are hanging out and I want to go have fun. So it helps to have a little bit of FOMO, because it always means that I want to be here, but I also want to finish here so I can be there.
I can imagine that with your busy life and all these different projects and things you're working on, it's very, very important to keep control of all this and to keep the balance.
Yeah.
And Linja, maybe one last question that I'm super curious to know. Throughout all these years and all these different decisions you took, and the outcomes that you have achieved, what surprised you the most?
Ooh, my goodness. That's a very good question. What surprised me the most about, You know, I think actually what surprised me the most about myself is, you would never believe this, Gina, but I'm an introvert. So I'm much more a one-to-one person than a group person or an out there person. And yet, ironically, a lot of my career is very much out there. And one characteristic that I do have, even though I'm an introvert, is I'm not scared to step out my comfort zone and take risks. And I'll do so even though, you know, my hands are shaking and my legs are trembling and all of that. And I think that's actually had an integral part into the reason why I have been successful in nutrition, because the opportunities have come. And whilst inside of me was screaming, nah, don't do it. You know, stay to yourself. You don't want to do that. You know, you're not a good communicator in public, et cetera, et cetera. You're a one-to-one person. I took it. I took those challenges, and actually initially super hard, super uncomfortable. But each time I do it, I still get nervous, but I get better and better and better. I've surprised myself so much that I actually have more ability in me to take risks and to get out there, which I think has really made a difference.
Yeah, so getting out of this comfort zone, I always call it like dancing at the borders of my comfort zone. This is how it feels. And I was smiling all the way through what you've just shared now, because I experienced exactly the same. And I am also more an introvert. And for me, it was also like being out there, showing myself, being invited like as a speaker and many, many more different situations. And every time I felt exactly what you've said, like, I felt fear. I really felt it in my gut. I was sweating. I was shaking. And I've learned a lot trying also to understand what is actually happening inside of me and why this is happening. And I learned that it's exactly that moment that I have to say yes. Accepting that challenge and growing. And exactly what you said afterwards, it was like, okay, you can do it. It's then in the end, you always have to decide on whether this is something that still feels good and that you would like to do more of.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, for me, of course, this is not the recipe for everyone, but I was just smiling listening to you, because this is exactly how I feel.
I love the fact that you said dancing. What did you say? Dancing?
Dancing at the borders of my comfort zone.
Dancing at the borders of my comfort zone. Oh, yeah, that's me. And I think that, for me, has been the thing that surprised me the most about myself. And you know what? I was just recently listening to a podcast. I'm a podcast addict. And it was talking, it was kind of more in, you know, neurophysiology or something like that, talking about the people that live the longest. What are some characteristics that they have that enables them to live a long, healthy, happy life?
They live in Japan, right?
Yeah, they live all over. Some live in Japan, some live in Sardinia, some live in Greece, Costa Rica, and Seventh-day Adventists in America. So all these places are called blue zones. And it's interesting. I mean, one of the three characteristics, one of them is conscientiousness, so ability to stick to something and work hard at something consistently. Another was curiosity. So the ability to always want to learn, to grow. And then the reason why I'm telling you the story is because the third was about that they are willing to step out their comfort zone. And actually, because stepping out your comfort zone, as scary as sometimes it is, means that you are able to learn and develop new skills. And I think of myself now, public speaking, is that you know, now I actually think that I'm effective at doing it. And I enjoyed, you know, the first 3 minutes was nervous, but afterwards I really enjoy it. And you know what? Because inherently within me, the thing that I want to do is be effective in nutrition, give out good nutrition messages, et cetera. So that is just a platform that I didn't necessarily think that I would use, but has happened to be the one that I'm using. So, yeah.
Yeah, and these things happen when you actually take this one first step. Other things happen. And for me, it was really like so many times that I could never have expected what comes out, what is a result out of this, and what might get triggered through this, and what opportunities might come up. It's interesting, once you get started, once you're curious, as you've said, once you try this one step outside the comfort zone, other things get possible, and we all might be so surprised if we just do that once in a while and surprise ourselves and the people around us. Olinia, that was so amazing. I just looked at the time and it's like, what?
I know!
I'm so thankful, really, that you have said yes to this talk and you were so openly talking us through your experiences and how
I hope it's okay.
Oh yeah, it's only okay. Good that you asked. Okay. No, it was brilliant. It was really, really very, very interesting and inspirational. And I'm sure that people that were just listening will share that. And maybe they share that even in a comment or so. Linja, thanks so much. All the best for all the challenges that you have ahead of yourself. I am looking forward
to
seeing you again soon.
Likewise. Bye.
Are you currently facing a challenge that requires leaving your comfort zone, or you would like to look for one as a next development step? Let's see how I could support you as a career and life coach and book your free initial consultation. Visit gina-friedrich.com or send me an email to coaching@gina-friedrich.com. I am looking forward to hear from you and sending sunny regards from Düsseldorf in Germany. Bye!